Let's look to our text this morning, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. I think all of us, especially as adults, we know what it feels like when we are under deep conviction. We know the burden of guilt and how tremendous and agonizing this burden of guilt can be. It can suck the life out of us, all joy, and give us restlessness and won't let us sleep or won't let us enjoy anything. People are so loaded with guilt today that they do a lot of things or don't do a lot of things because of the guilt factor in their lives. It's like an irritating small dog barking furiously that something is not right and you can't shut him up. And that's how guilt and a conscience full of guilt operates. But I believe and hope, at least in the Lord, that most of us have experienced the glory of having this guilt lifted and our conscience becoming free and clear again, where we say, wow, it feels so great not to feel guilty anymore. And I hope we all have experienced that. It gives us a new outlook and hope that is beyond description. And most of us, I hope, that when we look at the past and this experience, the before and the after, when we were so burdened with guilt and unforgiveness and lack of peace, and now we have experience that we never want to go back to that life of guilt again, that life of sin, that life of bondage. The great danger for many people, however, is that they have learned to silence their conscience to sin. Although they know what they do and how they live are wrong, they have hardened, or should we say overruled, their conscience with a delusion that somehow God will in the end overlook that transgression or their transgressions and let them go to heaven anyway. And they would like to have, and many even teach this, the universalists teach this in a very interesting way, that in the end, everybody is going to heaven anyway. It doesn't matter how sinful they are. That's an illusion. That is not true. And we can train our conscience to the point, I read about the Nazis, how they were trained to train their conscience in such a way that killing their enemy, killing those that they hated, was nothing to them. It was like just killing a fly or a small insect. It was nothing to them because their conscience was trained that way. You know, others simply don't care about whether they go to hell or not. They say, well, I doubt if there's a hell anyway. You know, it's all in your mind. It's all just a fantasy. It's all just a teaching. Yet Jesus was so clear on that, that there is a hell. There is a place called hell, as well as a place called heaven. And in the next three Sundays, starting next week, we will have this series about heaven. That heaven is real. It's not just a condition. It's not just an atmosphere. It's not just a state of mind. Heaven is a place where all the saints will be gathered after this life, and where Jesus already is and many others are. I want to talk about forgiveness. You see, Satan tries to multiply the lies that he is throwing at people, trying to distract them from the true experience of forgiveness that God has. And the question today is, have you received forgiveness, and do you live it? Do you live in a state of forgiveness before God and before others today? I want to ask you the first question here in my message, and that is forgiveness conditional? When we think of God, how generous He is in forgiving and loving all people, we would really think that forgiveness is unconditional. But actually it isn't. Forgiveness is dependent, first of all, on God's mercy and grace. When you and I come before God as sinners, we don't ask for justice. Forget about justice when we come as guilty sinners before God, because justice would demand that God punishes us with eternity in hell. That's justice for Him. What we ask God when we come to Him for forgiveness is that He would have mercy on us, that He would overlook the fact that He is righteous, holy, and just, that He has the right to condemn our souls to hell forever and ever, that He would remove this from us, that He would have mercy on us, pardon and grace. So if you live in sin, God's wrath is over you. His wrath is over you in such a way that if you stay in your sinful condition and if you die in that condition, you will be lost for all eternity. That is the fact. That is the truth of the gospel. We cannot change that. And people ask, well, how would a merciful God let anyone go to hell? Well, the only reason He does that is that if you reject His forgiveness, you don't accept it, you don't ask for it, He has to condemn those souls in the end. So there is a condition. The only way to get out of the wrath or the fury of God, because He is righteous and holy, is to fall on His mercy through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, His Son. And that's what the gospel and the message of the gospel is all about. There's no greater news and no greater truth than this, that the merciful God, the Father, the creator of everything, the creator of every human soul, has sent His Son as a sacrifice to die on the cross for you and me, that we could be forgiven and therefore remove the wrath of God that's over us. And heaven clears and opens up for us and says, welcome to the place where the Son of God is. That's God's mercy. You and I cannot expect a righteous and holy God to simply overlook all the immorality, transgressions, rebellion, and sin in this world. God cannot change His nature of holiness and righteousness. And He will not change it, because He is the great I Am who changeth not, says the Bible. But the only way for us to become forgiven and have mercy and grace is through Jesus Christ. All other ways and all other teachings are lies and deception. They will in the end disappoint the souls that rely on them. The second part is, forgiveness is conditional in the sense that God will not forgive someone who doesn't want it. God will not help you out of your sin unless you want to get out. But He has offered it, and He is offering it. Often we hear, you get what you ask for. But if we do not ask God to forgive us, guess what? He won't. He doesn't give us forgiveness unless we ask for it. It is not automatic. There's much religious confusion being spread from writers and speakers in our days and times, and this bothers me greatly. Because people are being deceived in the sense that say, well, I don't have to repent. I don't have to confess my sins to the Lord. He has already forgiven me. I just trust him that one day when I die, he will just say, welcome to heaven. I read a sentence, actually an article. It's taken out of a book called Lion and Lamb by Brennan Manning. And he writes this, and this really disturbed me when I read it. He says, divine forgiveness does not depend on our repentance. And I thought, ooh, wait a minute. How can you receive it if you don't repent? The sinner is accepted even before he repents. Forgiveness is granted to him. He need only accept the gift. This is real amnesty. It all begins with unconditional forgiveness. The sole condition is trusting faith. Loved ones, unconditional forgiveness is not in the Bible. The Bible says, repent and believe, and then you will be forgiven. To say otherwise is blasphemy. To say otherwise is stretching a truth and covering all people that live in rebellion against God and say, yeah, God will all automatically forgive them too because he's so generous. His holiness will not allow that. He remains holy and righteous. So we shouldn't pay attention to partially true fantasies because it deceives people and puts them at ease about their sinful life. Trusting faith is active. And it always means if we trust God for forgiveness, we got to have remorse and repentance. Because unless there is remorse and repentance, your sin will not be forgiven. It cannot be. Forgiveness can only be received through these means. I want to talk about this a little bit. How do we receive forgiveness? Many may ask or may even desire for forgiveness, but how do we receive it? Just that because someone asks for forgiveness doesn't mean that they already have received it. And I want to make this clear. The act of receiving is a real challenge for many precious souls. They cannot believe that God would actually accept and forgive them and their miserable deeds that they did. And this is the good news of the gospel. It doesn't matter how heavy your sins are. It doesn't matter what you did in the past. That doesn't matter to God. Whether it was a small white lie or whether it was a really terrible crime that you committed. For God, it doesn't matter. If you come to him and you ask him with all your heart and you receive what he has for you, he will forgive you everything. And this is the beauty of the gospel. Unbelief is a real problem for most people. They just can't believe that Jesus would offer something for free. Just for the asking, just for repenting, just for being sorry for your sins and really repent over it. Loved ones, it's also not enough to just agree on a sermon or a Bible passage and say, yes, I agree with that. But we need to put this faith into action. The Apostle James says, faith by itself, if it does not have works, it is dead. So faith has to bear fruit. And if you and I have faith, we will then have done this to repent of our sins and to ask God humbly for mercy and forgive us all our sins. You see, faith is like my hand and arm. As long as I hold my arm and my hand like this, guess what? I cannot receive anything, right? I mean, how can you try to give me a present? You try to give me something and I'd go like this. And you say, well, take it, take it, take it. And I say, well, yeah, thank you, thank you. You've given me the gift. You have everything for me here, but I'm holding this to myself. I'm not taking. You see, faith is that we open our hands and we stretch out our arm and we receive from God what he has for us. This is the step. This is the verb. This is the action that we have to do to receive. We need to receive from God everything that he has for us. And so many times, loved ones, I feel like a beggar before the Lord. And it is good that we do that. We are beggars. We need God. We need more of his Holy Spirit. We need more of his wisdom. We need more as people of God. Loved ones, we need to go beyond the initial forgiveness, and we need to live it out in our daily lives. That's his plan, by taking with our arms of faith and hands of faith. James chapter 4, verse 2 and 3, the last part of the second verse and the third verse, it says, you fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. He addresses that one problem. He says, you have a lot of conflicts within you. And it all boils down to this, that you don't have what it takes. You don't have because you do not ask. And then verse 3, he says, you ask, but you do not receive. And here is where many people fall short. James addressed this with those that he wrote the letter to. He says, yes, you ask. You even pray for it, but you don't receive. There's something that is amiss. You don't have an active faith. In other words, he's saying here, activate your faith and start receiving from God what he has for you. But then he says, the reason you do not receive is because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. The reason you're asking it is for selfish reasons. And this is very important. I want to just share a story and then go to the next point and come to a conclusion this morning before we take communion. The story of the servant, unforgiving servant in Matthew 18, verse 21 through 35. And I know many Christians read this story and they just say, that servant is so off. I mean, he did not forgive a small debt. And we know the story. He is called by his master, whom he owed a great sum of money, say $1 million. And the master saw that he couldn't repay him. And this is the interesting part. The master wanted to deal with this debt today. He said, the time is up. You need to settle this debt. And the servant fell at his feet and he said, please give me more time. And the master saw the sincerity of the servant. He had compassion. And he forgave the servant all the debt. He said, okay, not only will I give you more time, no, I will forgive you the debt. I know you can't pay it. And so this same servant who was just been forgiven so much, he goes out and he finds another servant that owes him, say, $10,000. From $1 million to $10,000. So he goes to this servant and he says, pay me back my $10,000. If you don't, I will have you thrown in jail. And he even choked him. And we say, what a heartless servant. But you know what had happened to this servant? He had not received with his heart the forgiveness that his master had given him. It wasn't so much about the debt or the amount of the debt. It was that he had not accepted the forgiveness in his heart because he couldn't give to his fellow servants what he didn't have. So it did him no good that his master had forgiven him all this debt It didn't make any difference in his heart. And this is where we need to learn from. He actually did not appreciate the forgiveness of this great debt that he had received. He had never received it in his heart. And so he couldn't give it. And I pray that we wouldn't be in such an attitude ever. You see, we need to get forgiveness also from others and have forgiveness for others. This is how forgiveness works. Forgiveness is, or asking forgiveness is actually a fruit of repentance. And this is why John the Baptist told the Pharisees when they came to his baptism, they wanted to be baptized because everybody was baptized. And, you know, when everybody wants to be baptized, I mean, it's like contagious. Hey, you know, I'm going to jump on the bandwagon too. I want to do that too. And he said, no. First, show true fruit of repentance. Ask for forgiveness. Repentance must have positive and decisive actions in that we, wherever we did wrong, wherever we gossiped about someone, wherever we cheated, lied, or hurt someone unnecessarily, we are willing and bold to ask for forgiveness. That's very important. And we may say, well, you know, I've heard some Christians say that. Well, what I did wasn't so bad, but what that person did to me, that was worse. And because of that, I cannot ask for forgiveness. No, we have to take responsibility for what we did and what we said and what our attitudes were, and we have to ask others to forgive us. The hardest words, loved ones, for people to say is, please forgive me. I'm sorry, I was wrong. The Bible talks about that we need to make things right so that God's forgiveness can really be lived out in our lives. If you have hurt somebody, be careful and make sure that you reconcile. A little man named Zacchaeus, he wanted to see Jesus. He had a deep longing in his heart to meet the Savior. He wanted not only to know who he was, and I believe that Zacchaeus by now he knew who Jesus was, but he wanted to meet him personally. And so after he goes to meets Jesus, and Jesus comes into his house, and they have talked and they have set things straight, Zacchaeus makes this profound statement. He said, in my words now, here is my action plan. I will act upon my experience with Christ. This is what I promise and commit to do right now. And he says, half of all that I own, I will give to the poor. And if I betrayed or cheated on anyone, I will repay it fourfold. If I rob someone of $100, I will pay him back $400. I want to make things right. And he was serious. And this is why Jesus says, behold, today, this house has experienced true peace. That is where forgiveness has this power. If you receive it, it is there and it has a positive, blessed effect. Can we really forgive others everything? As we take communion today and we search our hearts and first of all say, Lord, have you forgiven me and am I really forgiven? Have I asked others for forgiveness? But can we also then say, Lord, I forgive everything that anyone ever did or said against me. It is very important that we have this forgiving heart. Even though others may not have asked us, maybe somebody hurt us in the past and somebody said or did something and we kind of carry that and it's just kind of, it's still stuck like a knife in the heart. Just release that this morning and say, Lord, I release this to you. And I want to give you a good reason to do that. A good reason to release any hurt, any bitterness, any resentment feeling you may have against anyone is this. Jesus prayed on the cross and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They know what they're doing is wrong, or may not know that what they did is wrong. And how freeing it is for our hearts and our soul that we can say, all is well between me and God and anyone out there. And that we live in such a intimacy with God that we cannot remember, or we at least don't know of anyone in this world that could point a finger at us and say, you did me wrong, and never try to make it right. That would never be said of us. That's my prayer for myself and for all of us, that we would live in such a way. See, there's a cost to forgiveness, and that is sacrificial love. And Jesus sacrificed everything. Love and forgiveness from God, if we have it, we will be able to live out our salvation and bring blessings to others. Do you need to receive forgiveness today? Do you need to give forgiveness to others? Let's pray over that. Let's stand for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that through Jesus Christ we have been encouraged. When he was in the greatest of pain, and when he was mocked by the world, by your enemies, even by those that confessed to be believers at that time, the religious people. And at the height of his pain, that he called out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Lord, if there's anything in our hearts this morning, forgive us. If there's any resentment or bitterness or ill will, any restlessness that is caused by complacency or other things, Lord, we pray that you would cleanse it right now by the blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord, that in the name of Jesus, for Christ's sake, we now commit that we forgive anyone and everyone that has ever done us wrong. We leave it at the foot of the cross. Whether we understand it or not, whether that person is repentant or not, Lord, it doesn't matter. We leave it at your cross. And we thank you and praise you for the forgiveness and for the freeing of our souls. In Jesus' name, amen.